let's check the agenda for the week ahead. And we're joined today by Nando DeFino, now politics and television editor at Mediaite. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also with us, Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, Nando, let's start with the super committee here, because we're asking people if they're surprised that the super committee failed. And I won't ask you the same thing. But what do we take away from this politically in terms of the failure of this committee?
I think the only thing you can take away is it's just kind of more of the same. I mean, you look at Congress and they have a 12% approval rating now, an 81% disapproval rating, something like that. And it's just, I don't think people are surprised. I think it's just more people throwing their hands up and not really sure how to fix it.
Well, Charlie, are we going to see another downgrade from the market?
I think Nando's right in the idea that we expected this. So I think the markets may have priced this in, as it were. They sort of expected this. So, I mean, of course, we're going to have to wait and see. But this was sort of an artificial deadline. I mean, we're not facing, like we were in the summer, a possible government shutdown or the fact that the government can't fund itself. So when you don't have that pending, it may be that it's just the consequences won't be as severe, at least in the short term this week.
Although I don't think it'll improve anybody's opinion of whether or not Congress can get things done.
No. And this is the big issue. I mean, if you go forward, if there's no deal, let's say next year, if the sequestration for this 1.2...
It's the automatic cuts.
Yeah. If those somehow get changed and Congress comes in and says, well, we're not actually really going to cut this much from the defense, or we're not going to cut this much from discretionary spending, then I think you have to start worrying of a possible debt downgrade, because the rating agencies would look at it and say, look, you can't get your act together.
All right. Well, we have another debate coming up from the GOP scheduled for Tuesday night. Nando, what have we not heard yet from these debates?
I think at this point it's just kind of going to be must-watch TV for the characters. You get Newt Gingrich, who's probably going to go off on the super committee for not finding some kind of compromise. You know, Rick Perry is like the goofy next-door neighbor who just shows up and says funny things.
Hey, wait a minute. There's a line of goofy next-door neighbors there in that GOP.
Rick Perry's not the only one people are wondering if he's going to gaffe again.
That's true, to be fair. I mean, but it's just they have these personalities now that are developed that are kind of, taken over the fact that they're probably saying these important things about, national security and the economy. It's almost entertainment at this point.
All right. Well, it's not entertaining to take a look at the Eurozone debt crisis. And, every single day, Charlie, we get these headlines that say Eurozone, the euro may fail. I mean, it feels like we've been talking about that for months now.
I mean, it's a little bit. Imagine that we were back in 2008 where every day we were sort of worried about where's the economy going here in the U.S. This is basically what Europe is facing. And in fact, they're facing one of the same things that we faced, which is when the Federal Reserve really stepped in and started printing money to buy up a lot of this debt, to really get involved. And trying to prevent a recession, that's basically the question that Europe is facing right now. Should its central bank get more involved, start buying up a lot of this debt from a lot of these countries like Italy and Greece and Spain? And there's this real fight over that, because its mission is to make sure that there isn't inflation in Europe. And if it were to take this step, print a lot more money, there's a possibility of inflation. So Germany is very much against this. France and other countries are in favor of this. So, what we're coming here is this impasse, and there's no comprehensive response. And until there is one, we're just going to keep having these headlines every single day. And I think that will affect the markets more this week than whether or not the super committee, how it fails on coming up with the deal.
But, one of the odd things about the Eurozone debt crisis, I guess unique things in a way, is that, in the United States, you had a lot of people saying you should do this, you should do that. But it's so incredible, the chorus of voices
because,
in Europe.
I mean, imagine, the United States, if all 50 states came up with their own proposal for how to deal with the recession in 2008, you would have this, this inability to move forward. And I think that's what you're seeing there in Europe, is every state has a different idea about how to move forward. And this sort of points out the problem of the Eurozone. It worked great when everything was going along just fine. Now that they're facing real financial issues, the system that was set up isn't really set up to address in a common purpose what to do.
Quick on Spain. Do you think the fall of the socialists is because of all of this?
It definitely doesn't help that country and those political leaders, because they're going to get blamed for any austerity measures that get passed through, even if those are things that might help the country.
All right, let's move on to Black Friday here in the United States. Black Friday, of course, is the day after Thanksgiving. It's a huge shopping day.
It's becoming the night of Thanksgiving for me.
Well, yeah, there have been a lot of talk now about stores opening even in the late hours of Thanksgiving Day. Someone like Walmart is opening, I think, at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock on Thanksgiving. But this is, I guess, going to be seen really as a measure. I mean, how seriously are people going to take the sales numbers from Black Friday as an economic indicator?
Seriously. I mean, it's people are looking for any number that they can hang their hat on to determine what to do with markets, where the economy is going. If the consumers are spending well, then there'll be a lot of interpretations of, look, the U.S. economy is doing a lot better than we thought. Even though consumers say they're depressed about stuff, they're still spending. The thing to keep in mind is about a year ago, we had really good sales figures. Things look great. People started changing their estimates. The economy is going to grow dramatically. And then we had Europe, we had Japan, we had rising gas prices in the winter of 2011, and the economy stopped growing as much. So we have to be a little cautious. If we see a bump going into this holiday season, doesn't mean that everything is rosy going forward.
And we also have to be careful not to equate consumer spending with consumer confidence.
Exactly.
So those are two different things.
And also not to equate that just because people are spending that, therefore, they think the economy is doing better. A lot of these may be purchases that they have just delayed on making for some time, and there's a lot of pent-up demand for different items. So we'll have to see.
Do you go shopping on Black Friday? I don't want to be in those crowds.
No. I try not to be in those crowds.
But you're a guy, and I'm a woman.
And you know what? I'm doing a lot more online shopping, and that's a real problem for retailers, is that people are going online to avoid these crowds and for the simplicity of it.
Nando, are you a Black Friday dude?
No, that's insane. I mean, most of these Black Friday deals are flat. I'm not giving anyone a flat-screen TV, so it's not that I'm really attracted to anyway.
Yeah.
I'd stay away.
But do you shop? I mean, are you a shopper, or are you an online shopper?
I've kind of balanced it out a little bit. I kind of enjoy, like, you know, like reading a newspaper, like holding it, the tangibility of it. I kind of like going shopping and seeing people. So, you know, at the same time, I can go on Amazon.com. The prices are cheaper. I don't pay taxes. I don't pay shipping. I try to balance it out as much as I can.
So you're an old-fashioned guy.
I tend to think of myself, yeah.
Which kind of fits into our discussion today, because we're talking about holiday traditions to a certain extent. There's Thanksgiving coming up. And Nando, are you going to have a huge Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, yeah. Going to my wife's family. I've got an old-fashioned Italian family that we mix it up a little bit on Thanksgiving, too. It's not the traditional turkey, potatoes, and gravy.
What do you mean? You're the second person this morning. One of our listeners said they have an Italian Thanksgiving also. What is an Italian Thanksgiving? Is it lasagna?
Yeah, well, there's lasagna. We have escarole soup. Last year was the first time I kind of introduced gravy to my wife's family. They didn't know what it was, and they actually made it. They mixed it up with the flour and the turkey juices for me. So
you're like a gravy pilgrim.
That's exactly what I am.
The gravy whisperer.
With this strange food.
He's the Lewis and Clark of gravy. What about you, Charlie? You guys having a big Thanksgiving dinner?
Probably a smaller one, but definitely will take my hand at trying to do turkey for the second time. But when growing up as a kid, you know, whenever I think of Thanksgiving, my mom, when she would make the turkey, she would always put on, she was pretty hip in some of her music, so she always put on Earth, Wind, and Fire. So every time I hear the song September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, I actually think of Thanksgiving, strangely enough.
So this says turkey to you?
This says turkey to me. I'm sure, I don't know how Earth, Wind, and Fire would feel about that.
I'm hungry right now.
I'm sure that Earth, Wind, and Fire celebrates Thanksgiving.
I'm sure they do.
Did your mother dance while she was...
No, I just remember this in the house and the smell of turkey, and it was sort of a great kind of tradition. So even to this day when I hear it, I just have that association. So maybe I'll have to, start it up again.
It's got to be Detroit Lions football in your house, right?
Detroit Lions football, and everyone needs to stay out of the kitchen while I'm cooking. That's my tradition. Nando DeFino, politics and television editor at Mediaite, and Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You too.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Keep dancing there, Nando. So what's the agenda for your Thanksgiving meal this week? We're looking for ways you mix things up, maybe how you endorse traditions of Thanksgiving or how you break them. And tell us what's on the menu at your house to make the holidays your own. A listener in Denver wrote this: we have Thanksgiving on Friday due to schedules, and this year we're having a nacho bar instead of turkey.
There you go.
Break traditions for us, won't you, at 8778-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway. Bye.